Thank you, Holy Spirit, in this place. We just give you our lives afresh in this moment. We ask that you would help us as your word is released for 2021. We decree, God, that we would sit under the canopy of your presence, that we would understand the union that we have because of Jesus, and that we would come more and more into oneness with Christ. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us all today. We pray, Lord, as we sit down, as we allow the field to grow for 3 weeks, we pray, Holy Spirit, that we would be immersed in your love and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. And as you have extended that to us, we pray that we would extend it to each other and to everyone around us. And so we come boldly before your throne of grace, and we thank you for your precious word. We thank you. I pray, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for every person who has taken their whole life to translate your word. What a glorious inheritance, Lord, that we could see the word of God released in every tongue, in every nation, in every tribe, God. And so, Father, we thank you. Even now, Lord, we pray you'd raise up sons and daughters all across the nations who would make it their ambition and heart to translate your word in spirit and truth, and see many more come into your kingdom. And we pray for those, Lord, who are not as fortunate this morning because of circumstance and environment, even in this nation and nations of the earth. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you draw close to them, that they would know the embrace of the Father, they would know the love of the Son, and they would know the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible with you, I'm going to give you a couple of landmarks just quickly. I feel like this is going to be a note-taking time. If someone can tell me when 30 minutes is up, that'd be all 20 minutes. They'll give me an indicator of how I'm going. When I'm preparing this for a few weeks now, I wanted to prophesy into 2021. And so I wanted to allow this to be a prophetic word for this house and for those houses that are running with us and those people who are running with us all across the world. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would breathe upon this and that allow us to understand, because we are in a time of misunderstanding. We need understanding. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to have clear vision, and we need to go from opaqueness to transparency. We need to not see things as they are, but we need to see things as He sees them. I'll say that again. We don't need to see things as they are, we need to see things as He sees them. And when we gain His perspective, and when we're able to see through His eyes, we come into what's called the true reality of who we are. And so we're going to take a little bit of a journey today into theoria physique, which means a clear vision of the nature of all things. I'm going to challenge us in an encouraging way to allow at least the next 3 weeks to allow us to sit with the Lord and for Him to speak to us about who we are and about who He is. I said this a few months ago, that the feed and the stream that Jesus had was completely pure. And He gave each of us access to have a pure stream from Him. And so my prayer is the Holy Spirit would allow each of us in our own personal way, in an intimate way, in a loving way, to rid ourselves of the feed and streams that come into our lives that create impurities. I pray that for myself. I pray that for all the people that are present in this room, all those in our family who aren't here, and those who will hear this in the weeks, months, and years ahead, that we would seek the Holy Spirit and He would give us understanding so we can know who we are, so we know who He is. Amen. And so if you want to have open a few verses, I'll just give a couple to you now. Matthew 12. Verse 22, Matthew 12, verse 22, Hebrews 6, verse 7, and Acts 1, 6. I'll say that again. So Matthew 12, 22, Hebrews 6, verse 7, and Acts 1, verse 6. I don't have any idea if I'll get to any of those, which is quite usual. but I'll try, dependent upon what happens as we go through this. So I want to release a prophetic word. I'm going to write this out for our community and for the communities around us, because I want us to move. I believe 2021 is where we move from opaqueness to transparency in all things. And more than anything right now, we need to see things the way he sees them. Because we can think something is good and it's a worldly thing and it's good, and we try to apply it to a kingdom thing and it breaks. We need to see things from his perspective. If I can be bold enough this morning with you, each of us only need his perspective. Whether it's with building a foundation on the ground, whether it's getting it, being a debt, whatever it is. Any touched on wealth and what wealth actually means, or whatever it is. Whether it's a business venture, whatever it is, the Lord knows our heart. And he wants to show us things clearly. He wants us to move from opaqueness to transparency. He wants us to understand things with a clear vision. And I believe that 2021 is going to see three relationships transformed. We know that we are renewed by the transforming of our mind. That word in the Greek is metamorphosis. The best way to describe it is, if you watch the movie Transformers, which I don't, but when you see the Transformer go from a car to a huge robot, that's metamorphosis. You become something that you weren't, that is greater than you were. That's what transforming in our mind actually means. The three relationships I want to touch on today are our relationship with nature, which is way more than going outside and hugging a tree. Time and the different facets of time. The word uses about 8 words for time. We're going to focus on about 5 or 6 if we get time. And then relationships with people. So understanding that we need to interconnect these three in the face with the face of God so we can be who we're called to be. We need to see ourselves we need to see transparently in all of these ways, and we're going to unpack that as we go through today. I'm just going to head back for a moment to this. And so what does it mean? What does opaqueness actually mean? And biblically, why do they need to move from opaqueness to transparency? And so you might have heard in the Word of God that the people were blind. And the word blind in the Word of God is tuphlos, and it means to either be physically or mentally blind. So you can have vision, you can have clear vision, clear eyesight, and be completely blind. You can also have full mental capacity and be fully blind. The Word of God, when Jesus uses this word, he uses it in a way that he interchanges this word all the time. Whether the person, when he's speaking to the Pharisees, he's saying, you're all blind. He wasn't saying they were physically blind. He was saying, you're spiritually blind. You can't see anything. Jesus said it like this, I'll actually take it from you, and I'll take it from you, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and I'm going to give it to little babes. I'm going to give it to little people, because little people can see clearly. They have no filters. Amen? Anyone here a racehorse person? My grandmother was a racehorse person, had shares in horses and all that type of stuff, and she would tell me all the time they'd have to put blinkers on the horse so the horse could see clearly where it was going. Well, you're worth way more than a horse, and you don't need any religious blinkers on. You can have clear vision from the Holy Spirit. He's the author and pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, Yeshua the King. And so, opaqueness, it's interesting what opaqueness actually means. So we have a few verses here, Matthew 12, 22. There's a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Matthew 15, 14. Matthew 15, 31. Matthew 23, 17. He calls them, you fools and blind men. He's not saying, listen, you guys can't see anything physically. He was saying, you've got the best eyesight and you can see nothing. And then Luke 6, 39. And so this word, tuphlos, comes from the word typhu. And listen to this. This is what it means to be opaque. To see things from an opaque perspective. To see things from an unclear perspective means this. To blow smoke or be clouded in by smoke. I didn't ask for it this morning. I wake up in the morning in my house. It's bright sun. I'm like, whoa. I get to Linden and I can't see a thing. There was so much mist. I thought, you're funny, Holy Spirit. Xavier says to me, where can you see? I said, I can't see. We'll just stay on the speed limit and just go for it. And we drive down, and then we get to about just before Springwood, and it just lifts. I thank the Lord, because this opaqueness, it means to be darkened by mist or smoke. It actually means to have a cloudy mindset. It means to have a loss of the spiritual perception through poor judgment. It means to be haughty. It means to have vanity and arrogance. It means to be raised up with smoke around you. And listen to this. It means to be wrapped in a mist. Wrapped in a mist. It means to be prideful. And it means to be rendered foolish. And I'm going to say this because the Bible says it. It means to be completely found stupid. Seeing things from an opaque perspective. The root word here is a tufo. Say tufo. Sounds like one of the guys that plays for the West Tigers, Michael. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And tufo literally means this. It means to only be able to smolder. That no fire can come from your life. The best you could do is to produce a little bit of smoke that might point to something, but you won't be able to produce fire, and you won't be able to keep the fire. And so we want to move away. We want to move away from seeing things from an opaque perspective. We want to ask the Holy Spirit, and I pray this prayer for myself and all of us, that in the days and months and weeks and years ahead, I said that around the wrong way, but that's okay, that we would ask the Holy Spirit consistently to be able to see things from His perspective, which is always transparency. And I and us would be humble enough, to ask the Holy Spirit if there is anything that I'm seeing from an opaque perspective, that He would remove the mist. That I would say, whatever you need to do to remove the mist, remove the mist, so I can see things from a transparent perspective. Is that okay? Making sense? Amen. So, as we move through this, we have to understand that opaqueness comes from many forms. Opaqueness can come from ourself. We might have done some things 10 times and then do it again, and we're expecting a different result from doing it the same way. It might come from somebody else influencing us with a mindset or a thought pattern or a set of values, beliefs or ideals. And we need to be a people who have discernment. And discernment is a really easy gift to get. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have it, you ask for it. And if you have it, you can ask more of it. And it's by faith that you get more of it. It's a literal gift that, as Kath was praying before in a song, costs you everything, but it makes you increasingly rich. When she's talking about rich, she's not talking about wealth as in physical money. She's talking about the only thing that we need right now is the kingdom's currency, which is when Tanya Allen walks past somebody, that her shadow hits that person and they have an encounter with God. If we don't believe it, we read the word and we challenge the thought that says that couldn't happen to me because I'm less than that. Well, the same blood that ran through Peter's veins runs through your veins. Amen? Okay. So then we move to transparency. So we want to see things as in a transparent nature. Opaqueness. They tell you in the Blue Mountains, when you build a bathroom, you've got to make the windows in the bathroom have to be opaque, because people don't want to be able to see the inside that. And you want to protect your intimacy. Okay? But the other windows in your house, most of those windows, if you want, they can be clear like this. And so I can have a clear sight through a window, and that's what transparency literally means. The biblical part of transparency that I love, it says it actually is the ability to see the crystal-like nature of heaven and to be able to see through that. So in heaven right now, we know there's a sea of crystal. That's a transparent sea. I don't know how it works. Don't ask me. I'm not an expert on that. But transparent comes from this word called hulos, and it means a crystal so clear that you can see your very nature on the other side of it. So if I take my hand and put it around that glass, I can see my hand. The cleaner the glass is, the better quality the glass is, the more I can see that I can see in front of my eye. We want to see like that. We want to have the ability in Christ. We decree this over each and everyone who will in this room and who will hear this, that in Christ you have that sight. And religion would have told you, or is telling you, or is going to try and tell you that you can't have that sight because of what you've done, are doing, or might do. But we decree that you have that sight because of the blood that was shed by Jesus. He gave us access to all things. Otherwise, Ephesians is a lie. Because Ephesians 3 says that we've been given the very fullness of God. It also means this, and this is where I love. Transparency means this. It means to see things literally from the New Jerusalem perspective. It literally means to see things from the New Jerusalem now. Now, is the New Jerusalem here? No, it's not, but it's coming. But we have access through Christ in the Spirit to be able to understand and see from that perspective. The Bible teaches us through the Apostle Paul that we are to fix our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay? To see transparent is to see from the kingdom perspective. That is, what is not visible yet, but actually is and is coming. To see from the New Jerusalem is to see and peer into the view that the Trinity has. Now, we've been taught over the last few months that religion has taught you the best you can do is be on the outside of the Father, Son, and Spirit. By works, the best you can do is get close to the outside. And from that perspective, I can't see how Jesus sees. I can see how I can see how religion might want me to see, but I can't fully see. But we've been taught that we are in the perichoresis of God. We are in the very center of the circle dance. The Father, Son, and Spirit are moving around us. There's goodness flowing ahead of us. We are literally taking deserts and calling them pastures because of His goodness. And from that place, living in the very perichoresis of God, I have the ability, you have the ability, people have the ability to see from the heavenly perspective. That's transparency. The access to transparency is union, is intimacy with Jesus, is throwing off everything that entangles us because of His goodness, and knowing how richly, how immeasurably, and how wonderfully we are made and loved by God. And as we sit ourselves in the very perichoresis of God, remember that in that perichoresis of God, we are literally, He is circumventing everything that comes against us. I'll just take it like this. Mark Wesley finds himself in the middle of the Father, Son, and Spirit. The enemy tries to throw something at Mark. Circumvallation means this. The Father, Son, and Spirit see it happening, and they literally encamp around that thing and squeeze the life out of it so Mark can overcome. He has to literally do nothing to fight. He doesn't have to push himself, stir anything up, do anything spiritual. All he has to believe is that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all around him. And in that place of intimacy and union, nothing can come against him. I believe that Jesus, when he said this, the enemy has nothing in me, I believe he could say that because he was living in the very epicenter of the Father, Son, and Spirit, where all things were transparent. I've also gone on to study and find this now, is that it says this, the Bible says, and Andrew Battershaw can tell me if I'm wrong, that Jesus only ever did what he saw the Father doing, and he only ever said what he heard the Father saying. Is that correct? Okay, so Jesus literally was moving all the time from transparency. Will we agree this morning that there was no opaqueness in God at all? God the Son? Nothing. And just like that, he said that we have access to that because of what he's done. Amen. It literally means transparent. The word hulos means this. To live from the eternal dwelling that is and is to come. Hulos means a rain cloud carrying weight that sustains, and when rain is poured out, what does it do to the ground? It softens it for growth. I'll just jump back. Opaqueness means a cloud carrying no rain. You ever been annoyed by that? You need some water. Andy and Christy can testify. All through their time in Coolamon, they'd see clouds come, and they'd be like, yes, and they would produce no rain. And then when the cloud that produced rain came, people would get outside. They didn't care what was happening. They're dancing, they're shouting, and they're praising. Whether they're praising Jesus or not, that's up to them. Not any Christian people in those, you know, cities and towns in the country. But a cloud that carries no water is only good for shade, pretty much. Amen? Yeah. We need to be people that don't just look like Jesus. We need to be people that actually are moving and seeing and peering from his perspective into the earth. We see this word "hulos" only in two places, and they're both in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 21. Like clear glass, like transparent glass. It comes from the word "hutos," to pour down with rain, and that word comes from the root word of "huo," which means to be poured forth. So literally, when you see things from a transparent perspective, when you move from opaqueness to transparent, you literally become one who is able to pour forth into the earth the things of God. I think that's good. Acts 14 is a scripture where we find this root word, and he gave you rains from. Acts 28 verse 2, because of the rain that fell. And Hebrews 6:7, we got there, praise God, that drinks the rain which often comes. James 5 verse 18 as well, he poured rain onto the earth. And then we also have Revelation 11:6, this word "huo," which means so that rain will not fall. And so growth, rain brings growth, transparency brings growth, transparency brings perspective. You might even, I'll say this, you might even have a system that you're in or under or trying to apply, and it might be really good, it might be wonderful, it might be right in the world's eyes, but completely opaque to God. We literally need to move away from the opaqueness of the world and reclaim and come under the reclamation of transparent thinking, transparent seeing, and then transparent doing. Amen. I've got 4 hours to go. I like how people are. Like, I'm not joking, but okay. The Spirit of God shows us how to move continually from opaqueness to transparency. And he does this in three central relationships. And we're going to look at those relationships now. So let's have a look at the relationship of nature. Because nature is a beautiful thing. But if we don't see things the way he sees them, we actually forfeit our ability to come under the blessing of Almighty God. It's a big statement, but I believe it is true. And so what we learned this year is that blessing, we learn about blessing. If you're involved in our kingdom teaching, which is once a month, you would understand that we released a whole thing on blessing, what blessing actually is. And if I'm a Hebrew person or a person of the Aramaic or Hebraic culture, then every time nature does something, my reaction has to be praise. When a Hebraic person sees waves in the ocean, they stop and they literally praise. When they move somewhere else and see something that nature does, they stop and they praise. What are they doing? I believe they're prophetically making a memorial of praise upon the creation of God. Now, I'm not talking about everyone in here going out and I truly believe that we need to take care of what God has given us because we are governors. And I believe man, who is not under the yoke of Christ, has tried to destroy the earth by taking from it and making profit from it. And I believe that we as a people are supposed to be reclaimers, restorers, and governors of the earth. We are supposed to be seeing the literal earth become more like heaven each day. I haven't got time to go back into those series I did this year. But nature, we need to see nature from its perspective. I was sitting, we finished our 16-week, 8-part series with young adults. The Spirit of God, thank you for praying as we were praying. The Spirit of God fell powerfully in Springfield Baptist Church last Sunday night. What was supposed to finish at 9:30 finished at 11. Yeah, 10:30, it just blew out. It was so powerful. God just moved. People filled with the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit released in a place that is, we'll say this together, a place that is growing, growing. Say growing, growing. In God. Amen. They are. They're growing in God. And so nature, back to nature. Nature, I'm sitting there preparing and I get taken into this vision where I don't know how it works, but I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I'm inside a flower somehow and it's starting to blossom. And the Lord says to me, do you ever stop to wait for the blossom? Then I remember one of my favorite movies, Dennis the Menace. And Dennis's grandfather, he's a steward over one plant. He does everything in his capacity, every single thing, all the conditions. He puts everything in play to wait for the blossoming of one plant. I thought it was a bit of a strange vision. And then a young guy I've been discipling all year, I caught up with him a few days ago and I shared this and he goes, that's so crazy. On that night, the Lord told me that we are starting to blossom. The blossoming is happening. And why do I say that? Because I think sometimes opaquely we can go, oh yeah, it's just a bush, just creation. Oh yeah, I'm just going to get on with my life. That's a house, whatever. But transparently, every place I go, I'm giving thanks. Transparently, I'm praising. I'm praising for the rain. I'm praising for the heat. You know, people said, oh, the bushfires, they were terrible, burned people's houses down. I think it sucks that people's houses got burnt down, but the Australian bush needs fire to regenerate. I just say it. There's plants that will not regenerate, they will not throw seed, they will not cast down their crown so Christ can build them up until fire hits them and a hot enough fire to open up. And so we need to be a people, I believe, in 2021 who are seeing nature from the natural perspective, from the transparent perspective, and they will be people that give thanks. I thought the greenies were mad for years. They're not mad. They actually just want to see creation looked after. They just want to see stewards on the earth. Could we believe they might actually be prophesying to the body of Christ, where are the sons of God? It says creation. It says all creation is yearning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? And I'll pose this question. Take this question to the next 3 weeks. Take this one question and ponder it with the Lord. What does it look like when those sons and daughters are on the earth? What does it look like? Because that's not a future tense word. That is a present reality. I haven't got time to unpack how I believe we get there. Amen. Are we okay? That is nature. Nature, we go from seeing things opaquely. My favourite flower, my wife's favourite flower is flannel flowers. So around October, I start to get possessed. Some people buy flowers for their wives. Bless you. Buy more. And so she'll get fennel flowers maybe randomly every week, every 2 weeks if I can find them. I know all the spots pretty much. I know where the ones come early. There's a spot just behind where Beck lives, down the end of that road in the bush where I built a hut one day for Andrew Battershield to stay there before he got married. Another story, Beck. And they come pretty early. There's ones on wherever you go, but now they're pretty much gone now. There's a few left, but they've got a very short time. But when I see that, I'm reminded of the intimacy with him. You might find it with the waratah. I won't ask anyone who's cut waratahs down in the bush. But all I'll say is this. Your father owns that place. It's great. They call it Crown Land. How good is that? It's Crown Land. I said, it's Crown Land. I said, yeah, my father owns that. I said, what? You're related to the king? I said, yeah, I am related to the king. Amen. Praise God. Nature. We can be stewards of nature. Time. Time. So everyone knows the watch time. Okay, chronos is the word we have. And sometimes we try and translate the word kairos as spirit time. And I do that, but there's a few more things I want to say about this. And if you bear with me, we'll have one service. So Kat said I can preach for 7 hours. So amen. Dave Knight's going quick. Amen. Chronos means a particular time or season, a succession of moments, the physical world, time, and duration. So it means Claire goes to sleep for a number of hours, then God wakes her body up. Okay, every morning it happens. It's just chronos time, it just happens. But in that time of sleep, she enters other places. And here we're going to talk about these things now. Chronos means sovereignly appointed by God. Sovereignly appointed by God. It means time in sequence. It means the time since the first, here Esther, the first star began to shine. When was that? Oh, hallelujah. It means to spend time on anything, and it means to take respite for yourself and others. Matthew 2:7 is a reference here where the exact time to start something. We go through this, heaps of these. They asked Jesus, are you restoring all things now? They were talking about chronos. Are you restoring all things, like physical things? And he was like, no, don't ask me that. Only my Father knows. And we've got people who have used methods and mathematics to try and predict when God's going to send Jesus back. Jesus himself said, no one knows except for the Father. We can not worry. And we can rest and have peace. That he will send his son when he wants to. Amen? We have to be alert, yes. We have to be on, I'll say this, I don't think we have to be alert just like that. I think we have to be seeing things transparently. Then we won't get caught out. If I had time, I'd ask Michael to come up here and we'd do an unpacking of the 10 virgins who 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And the 5 that had oil were seeing things transparently, and the 5 that didn't have oil were still in opaqueness. But I haven't got time. Chronos comes from... So we have chronos, which means quantity. So we have time and sequence. Compared to the word ladauzo, which means quality or the opportune time. And then I'm going to touch on one of these words today because I want to talk about how we go from opaqueness to transparency in time. Time, and I'll say this very clearly, time should not rule any of us. We have been given the keys to be rulers over time. The problem we have is that we live in a world that dictates the pace at which we should live. We need to reclaim we are the dictators of time. We are to dictate the time on the earth. I have seen time expanded. I have seen time shortened supernaturally by God himself. So I know that we are a steward over time, but I believe that 2021 is going to give us an opportunity to prophetically reclaim time.
Amen.
Amen. It's good. It's good. So I just want to touch on one word. I'll write this whole thing out for everyone so you can have an extended version. But the word chronos comes from the word aeon, A-I-O-N, which means a space of time or an age. It means the ages that singularly fit together. So we have the old covenant, the new covenant, the church age. They fit together all the way sequencing to eternity. All the way sequencing to infinity. These sequences of time. I want to pose a thought to you. Could what you pray and what you release and what you decree and what you prophesy have such cosmic influence that it is more than what you will ever see happen in your ears on the earth? Could what you release be for an age ahead and the Lord is reserving it for that time, but needs a son or daughter like you to release it? We've learned over the last 6-7 years that the prophetic is not supposed to be just for you as an individual, but the Bible is always talking about generational legacy. Abraham gets a prophetic word, and we are the blessing of Abraham's promise. I pray for you that when you receive a prophetic promise, a real prophetic word from God, that you would steward it. And if it means stewarding it for your granddaughter's granddaughter's granddaughter, then that's what you have to do. Let's not be jealous about the word having to come to pass in my life, because it may not. And biblically speaking, we saw both. We see prophecy coming to pass in the natural, in people's lives, and we also see people stewarding prophetic words that were passed on to the next generation. What would have happened if Saul stayed king? But a prophetic promise had happened that there was one called Dahavid, the beloved of God, who was coming to rule and reign. David himself had to wait between 14 and 17 years to inherit the prophetic word as Iron King. We get upset when the prophecy doesn't come to pass after 3 minutes. Thanks for that laugh, Dave. I'll fix you up later. Amen. And so what I believe is that we are called to be those who steward over time, not be stewarded by time. Do I have time when I go to work? Yes, of course. But I know that in that time, I can get all things done I need to do because I'm under the Spirit of God and I'm actually living in transparency, not opaqueness. Who's ever got to the end of the day, Dom would know this, get to the end of the day and you're like, what the heck did I accomplish today? Literally zilch. You've never had a day, have you, Dom? No, thank you.
I have.
Amen. Thank you, Tash. And so, why does that happen? Because the enemy wants to ruin time. He wants to assign things against us and time. But if we find ourselves in the very perichoresis, the circle dance of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, I believe that He will start to enable us to rearrange things so we can see time from a transparent perspective. I've met two people on the earth that when I got around them or get around them, I know I've been with Jesus. The Bible says this, that they were a people that when people came around them, they knew that they had been with Christ. Catherine's grandfather, Harold, was one. When I would go and sit with him, which is not regularly, but when I would sit with him, I would know that I was with Christ. It's one of those senses. All time was lost. I didn't have a need or a want to have to get something done. I didn't have a need or a want to have to produce something or do something. I was just caught up with Christ. If Jesus walked on the earth that He made, if Jesus did what He did in the time that He had on earth, then how more can we safely and securely come under that yoke and maybe slow down? Amen? Amen. Thank you. I'm about 3 pages into my 14 pages of notes. Praise God. I'll just say this. The Kairos is the time for season, fitting season, opportunity. It's the spirit time when the Spirit of God breaks into something in time. That's Kairos. But it comes from this beautiful word called Hora, H-O-R-A, which means a divinely preset time. A divinely preset time. Think about this. James Kenny could have been put on the earth. John Rees together, they make a lot of trouble. On the earth, they could have been put in the Middle Ages. Yeah? Slinging swords and I don't want to say the next part. But they were divinely set by God, ordained by Him to come into the earth at a Kairos time. I'll say this. You, each of you, were divinely set by the Father's clock to come in on His Spirit's time. To bring Him glory and power and honour forever and ever. Hora means this. There are specific characteristics that God will prevail through you exactly for His own benefit. That is Kairos time. The Spirit of God comes in and gives all the characteristics you need to release things into transparency. You can literally go through mist and create clearness because Christ is a transparent mover through you. So not only does we want to go from opaqueness to transparency ourselves, but then we are literally carrying the ability, the enablement, the empowerment of God to walk into opaque things and see them become transparent. We are literally able to go to someone who's in complete opaqueness and can't see anything, and we in a moment can bring transparency because of the Spirit of God living in us. I thought that was good. Thanks, Janet. Amen. And so, I haven't got time, but listen to this. Hora is the word used when Jesus says to Mary, "My time has not yet come." I'm going to take some time on the 17th or 31st to unpack this revelation. How did Mary get Him to do something that He was not going to do? Mary says, do what He says, my time has not yet come. Actually says, woman, my time has not yet come. He moved out of His sonship to her and He became king in that moment and He calls her woman, not mother. And He says, my time has not yet come. And she says this, do whatever he says. He says three things. He says, fill and draw out. I'll leave you with that to go and have a little bit of a play with God. He says, fill and then draw out. Aren't we told by the Holy Spirit to do only what the Father is showing us to do through Christ? Aren't we told by the Lord to only say what the Spirit of God is saying through the Father and the Son? Amen? Amen. Well, it's got a little bit of a key here for you guys. Give me another 5 or 7 minutes and I'll finish. And I'll get through about a quarter of what is happening. A key here is this. Maybe an example is this. Maybe when we pray for healing, the reason that we're not seeing healing happen is because we're not seeing things transparently. We're seeing things opaquely. When someone with cancer comes to pray, normally we focus on the cancer and we bind it, which is good to do, and we loosen health. But maybe we need to be like Christ, who didn't pray all the time the same way. But he waited for the Father to give him transparency on a situation so he could find the key to see that person released. Just a thought to leave. Maybe we don't see things like that happening all the time. We see them happening, but I want more. Who's hungry for more? I'm glad 3 people are hungry for more. But I'm serious, I'm hungry for more because I want to be able to step into the realm of healing in a way where when I'm praying for someone, there's absolutely no focus on the disease that is going to shrivel in my hand. All there is a focus on is, what are you saying, Father? Show me transparently so I can release it into that body. We need to see the whole picture. You know the Bible says that we prophesy in part? It doesn't say we see in part. It says we prophesy in part. And I haven't got time to talk on the 2 different words there, but we have been given the ability to see what he sees and see how he sees, yet we have been given the ability to prophesy in part. Why in part? Because we are supposed to be in communion with each other and each of us carry a part. I'll give you an example last Friday night. Kath has this unction to do this prophetic act. And so we come out. She starts to speak about Judah, the line of Judah. I get straight away, I remember that I had this word about Judah. And Judah means praise, but under that it means way more. It means that I'm going to bend the bow and I'm going to shoot it. Judah literally means an arrow shot forth. Then Josh comes up. And he says, I had this word this morning. He'd been literally reading Zechariah 9:13, which says, I will bend Judah like a bow and I'll fire Jerusalem like an arrow. It's about parts joining together. How? There's a unity of the Holy Spirit that far outdisplays any course of leadership you can do. The unity of the Holy Spirit enables you to be in different locations geographically and hear the same thing. Amen? I haven't got time, I've got to run. I'm going to touch just quickly on relationship. These 3 inherited relationships between time, relationship, this can say people as well, and nature, are always together. They're always affecting each other in a glorious mystery that we have access to become because of his origin and his nature. Every time I can't see things clearly, I don't have to stop what I'm doing and get upset. I can ask the Holy Spirit to fill me so I can see things transparently. I can see things from his perspective. But sometimes we have to wait a little while. Amen. Remember that we're not in the fast food gospel that's being preached to millions right now in this country and countries of the earth. We will never be in the fast food gospel. We are always in the slow dance. We are always in the slow burn. We are always in the ability to wait. Because my Bible says that you gain strength when you wait. Maybe we haven't seen clearly because we've got up too quickly from our seat of rest and peace. And we might see things a little bit better. What happens if we would wait until full transparency came, then we moved? Remember, sometimes we move too quickly with something because we're so being taught the wrong way about time. Oh, it's not going to happen. Who's ever seen God show up in an unusual time? Just one person? Okay, good, that's good. God is an unusual God. Why is he unusual? Because he does things that we don't understand. And I love the fact that we need to come under and we need to see time as our servant. Time is under us because all things are under Christ. Amen? And it says this, he created all things for him. Yes? All things have been created for him and in him. Is that the Bible or not in chapter 1 of John? And so I'm going to read this to us. A removal of the trends of the world. We need to see and do in relationship with each other and humanity from his perspective. Not what the world says systematically, individually or corporately. I'll say it again. We need to be a people who remove the trends of the world that have infiltrated the body and us. If we are truly the people of the Holy Spirit, if we are truly the washed people, we will be clear in our sight, clear in our peering, clear in our seeing of the present and in the foresight for the future. Our sight, our seeing as people of God is transparent because he has called us to be the people of the light. He has called us to be the people of the light. I got about 40% of the way, but I'm going to pause. And we're going to just, I'm going to invite the worship team back. I want to do a couple of things. They've got some set stuff, but I want to just do one thing before they do the set stuff. I want to focus on something for us for a moment. So I'll just invite them back. Invite them back. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just stand for a moment? I just want to pray for every single person here and for those who are going to hear this in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. That we would be a people who are transformed in 2021 in three critical and vital relationships. And the reason I'm praying is because I want us to be a people that move, and I pray this for every child as well. That we would be a people that move from seeing things opaquely to seeing things transparently. The world might say, well, you've got to do it this way. And that might get you some blessing. But what if you sought the Holy Spirit for his divine, transparent way? And even if it looked completely crazy or upside down or back to front, you would believe that's what he said and that you would do it. I know people all across this room right now who have come to a place that I believe the Lord God caused where they had to surrender to the Spirit of God to see things transparently. I know people in this room right now, and those who are going to hear this, that need to move from opaqueness, including myself, to transparency, that we would see things the way he sees them. And so I'm going to pray for us. Why don't you just do whatever you do to pray. I don't mind what you do. You can be blessed to be yourself. But Holy Spirit, I ask you in this moment, ask Holy Spirit that you would transform our ability to go from opaqueness to seeing things that aren't clear, to seeing things unclearly, to misseeing things, even myself, Lord, when I've misinterpreted things or when I've judged things based on opaqueness. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would rid us of opaqueness, that you'd rid us of the inability to see transparently, and that you would impart to us now, impart, Holy Spirit, that we would be people who have clear sight, that we would be able to peer, that we would be able to see, that we would be able to know, that we would be able to perceive, we would be able to examine through the transparent lens of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, where every person who
who is in this place or is in our family or in this region or who will hear this, I pray that they would not know any longer, any moment longer, that they are on the outside of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They would know, Lord, that they are caught in the very middle, the very epicenter of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And from that place, they can see themselves and they can see humanity. They can see nature. They can see time. And they can see relationships through the very transparent lens that you want them to. They can literally see, Holy Spirit, from a new Jerusalem perspective, from a heavenly perspective, God. And we pray that the earth would quake and change and rumble because the manifest sons and daughters of God are appearing. We prophesy, Lord, that manifest son 2021, that we would see more and more manifest sons and daughters of God appearing, that creation would come into right order because the sons and daughters of God are appearing on the earth. And so, Father, we thank you right now in this moment. We decree your greatness. We decree your greatness over this next 3 weeks as we allow the field to rest, as we allow the growth to take place, as we sink ourselves into union and intimacy. Oh, Lord, we pray that more than anything we'd have encounters with you. We decree, Lord, that restoration will take place, that reconciliation. We decree positive surprises everywhere. Everywhere we go, everyone we're talking to, people we're in relation, we're not with, but we pray that positive surprises would break forth because of your kingdom's glory and for your kingdom's sake. We decree it, God, today. We decree it, God. We pray, Lord, that we would see nature how you see it. We would stop and we'd say, whoa, the wind just blew. When was the last time? The last time you went outside at night and waited for the stars to shoot. I pray, Lord, that we would become stewards over time. A time we decree in this place, a time would no longer rule us, but we would be rulers over all things, the Bible says. That we would be, that time, there might be hours and hours and months and days and weeks, but we would be the ones who are stewarding that time for your kingdom's glory. And we pray, Father, that we would see people from your perspective. An opportune time. One of my friends who's here today, I hadn't seen him for many years, and I went to Penrith Pool yesterday. It's random. Just went down there for Christmas with the Cats family, and this person wasn't even supposed to be there, but a few weeks ago they'd said, Lord, I really want to see Mr. Osborne so I can go to his church. And then I just rock up and I'm standing next to them. How good is the Lord? So he renews all things to bring people to the power of his name, not my name. I'm just being used by God like you are being used by God. But he is restoring all things to himself. And so, Father, we ask that you would fill each one here. So now, Holy Spirit, just fill them. May they see things clearly. I pray more than anything else, they would see themselves clearly, and because of that, they would see other people clearly, God. So we thank you for discernment coming in the room right now. We thank you for faith being released. And we bless your heart, God. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor for this moment. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.